Now, as the anointing of the Spirit is here very powerfully, the Lord said to me this afternoon, which is connected to what you were sharing, that the conflict in the heavenlies, God showed me. I know He didn't show me the enormity and the fullness of the conflict, but there is an enormous conflict in the spiritual realm in the heavenlies that is going on. And the enemy is angry and raising up demonic forces as never before, but God is raising up His army.
Yeah.
The heavenly army is being prepared.
Yeah.
The heavenly army is now being prepared. The heavenly army is ready. Is the earthly army ready? The Lord said, no, the earthly army is not ready. So be alert, be awake. Look, open your eyes. But let God open your eyes, let God open your ears, let God open your heart. Speak what God wants to speak. God is going to be speaking more directly through His people.
Yes!
He's going to be speaking more directly through you if you will pray, if you will wait on the Lord, if you will seek Him, if you will learn how to praise Him.
Yes.
Be released in praise.
Yes. Lord.
So that you are not ashamed of dancing before the Lord, or raising your hands before the Lord, or as Martha did, marching through as she shared tonight under the anointing of the Spirit of God. I mean, God wants to release His people. And the people of the world will not understand, and they will laugh and they will mock. They will laugh and they will mock, and they will oppose. But they will be overwhelmed by the love, not our anger, not our opposition, but our love. As we learn truly how to lay our lives down, we heard North Korean lady in Washington a few weeks ago, who had escaped from North Korea through China, through Mongolia, and is going around now, spoke before the Senate of the United States and spoke to us, and there was not a dry eye in the audience as she spoke about the persecution. And yet, as people are persecuted, sometimes Christians just shot on the spot for carrying a Bible. But as they are persecuted, the power of God is being released, and more are coming into Christ. And I prayed tonight, and I believe God had me pray. I believe that communism in North Korea and communism in China are going to be overwhelmed by the Holy Spirit of God and by Jesus moving through the lives of those people. They will send missionaries here. We need missionaries here. They will send missionaries all around. And we can be a part of that. We don't need to be left out. But God wants to raise up an army. My topic tonight is the spirit of Amalek. And it's appropriate. Religious spirit of Amalek. I'm learning more about it. And God wants me to share with you what God has been trying to teach me about religious spirits. For 25 years at least, I have known there were religious spirits. But that's about all I knew. And then, I suppose 5 years ago, God began to open up the scripture. And then He opened up more and more and more, and He's continuing to open it. It's been there, but I mean, we don't know half. We probably don't know a tenth of what God has really spoken here through His prophets and through His apostles and through the people who were anointed by the Holy Spirit of God to write what they wrote. It was the Holy Spirit who wrote it through them. And only through the anointing of the Holy Spirit of God can we even begin to fathom the depths of what God's Word contains. So turn with me tonight to Matthew chapter 12 and verse 38. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 38. This is a kind of introductory statement that has to do with religious spirits generally, but it has to do also with the religious spirit of Amalek that we are going to look at tonight. But it has to do with religious spirits generally. So let me read verse 38 and Matthew 12. Then some of the scribes and the Pharisees answered him, saying, Teacher, we want to see a sign from you. The Jews seek for a sign. They want to see some miracle. But he answered and he said to them, An evil and adulterous generation craves for a sign. Yet no sign shall be given to it but the sign of Jonah the prophet. The sign that Jonah was given. For just as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the sea monster, so the Son of Man shall be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. Because God's salvation that will overcome all these demonic spirits that the enemy has sent and the spirit of the world will only be overcome as the Holy Spirit is released fully on the earth. But Jesus had to come and Jesus had to die to defeat Satan first. Then he was raised from the grave. Then he was 40 days on the earth. Then he said, if I go to the right hand of the Father, and he did, I will send the Holy Spirit. And he sent the Holy Spirit in Acts 2 on the 50th day, Penta 50th, on the 50th day after the resurrection of Christ from the dead. Then he sent the Holy Spirit and the church was born. And the ecclesia that we've talked about before is the church. The Greek word ecclesia is not a building, not a denomination, but a place where the life of Jesus comes into a group of people, two or three or wherever he is gathered in their name, and they are in him and he is in them, and the power of God through the love of the Lord Jesus Christ is released. And as the power and the love of the Lord Jesus Christ is released, the salvation of God overcomes Satan. It's the only thing that will overcome Satan. Because we are in massive conflict. That's what I was saying a minute ago. I know that God wants to reveal more to me and to you about the nature of this conflict. And I have spoken of this before when last semester we were talking about spiritual warfare. The gospel itself. Jesus said, I didn't come to bring peace. I came to bring a sword. The sword of the Spirit of God. See, there is no peace. They cry peace, peace, when there is no peace. There is no peace in the world. There will be no peace in the world. There will only be peace when the Prince of Peace comes into the heart of people to give people peace within all of the turmoil, all of the conflict. We can have perfect peace. Our lives can be threatened, and it can be on the very edge of being taken, our lives taken, and we will have perfect peace. Because one day, all of the Scripture, all of the people who love God will be brought into total unity, and peace literally means to be set at one.
Yes, Lord.
To be set at one. One with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit, and one with all of the body of Christ all over the world. So that we remember those in bonds as bound together with them. We are tonight bound together with the North Korean Christians. We are bound together with the Chinese Christians. We are bound together. We are bound together. You name the Christians anywhere in the world. We are bound together with them. And what they suffer, we in the Spirit must suffer, not in the physical sense, but as the Holy Spirit causes us to be brought together.
Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Verse 41, the men of Nineveh shall stand up with this generation as the judgment, and shall condemn it because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. But behold, something greater than Jonah is here.
Amen. Come on.
Something greater than Jonah is here. Jesus, the Queen of the South, shall rise up of this generation to judgment and shall condemn it because she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, something greater than Solomon is here.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Something greater than Solomon. Now when the unclean spirits, listen now, suddenly you shift because Jesus understands here that what we're really battling, what you're really battling is not unbelievers, it's the spirit that's in them. It's doubt and unbelief. We struggle not against flesh and blood, but principalities, powers, mights, dominions, spiritual wickedness in high places. And when the unclean spirit goes out of a man, it passes through waterless places, seeking rest, and does not find it. Now, Jesus brings deliverance. He brings healing. He brings deliverance. Salvation is spiritual salvation, healing physically, deliverance from demon power. He brings freedom. He brings freedom down on the earth now. Not only in heaven. He brings freedom from all bondage now. He wants to set you free. We do that. We have done that for 30 years here. We have prayed with people. We have seen people set free, people healed, people delivered, people saved, people filled with the Spirit of God. They are all around the world today. They are all around the world today. Just got a email from Blake and Tracy. We used to be in the seminary about 10 years ago, and they're in Thailand. And Blake has learned finally to preach in Akha. And they are amazed that a white man could preach to an Akan Indian group, a small group, tribal group. And so all around the world, God is moving. But as deliverance comes, here's the plan of the enemy. When an unclean spirit goes out, it passes through waterless places seeking rest and does not find it. Then it says, I will return to the house from which I came, which it comes, and I will find it unoccupied and put in order. Yeah. Listen, whatever you get from God, you get healing, you get deliverance, especially if you get deliverance from demon power, you better learn how to walk in the Spirit. Amen. And remain in the Spirit. Walking under the anointing of the Spirit of God. You need to learn. If you've been baptized in the Spirit, most of you have. Prayed with some of you. I know you've been baptized in the Spirit. But you need to learn how to walk under the anointing of the Spirit of God, because there is a great danger if you do not.
Amen.
If you do not learn how to walk under the anointing of God. Listen now. It goes and takes along with it seven other spirits more wicked than itself, and they go in and live there, and the last state of that man becomes worse than the first. This is the way it will be with this evil generation. Now notice, they will take spirits more wicked.
Amen.
More wicked. Now, I did not realize this until, I don't know, it was several years ago, I was praying, and the Lord said, all religious spirits are more wicked than most spirits, most demons. Why? Because religious spirits are spirits that are trained by the enemy to penetrate inside the true church of God.
Amen.
And they are more wicked because they are so lying and deceptive. Because they come to people, making people believe that if they follow these spirits, they will be more holy.
Yeah.
Listen. They are wicked because, very wicked, because people actually believe, religious people inside the church get to believing that following religious spirits, and I'm going to talk about one tonight, but following religious spirits will make them more holy and more godlike, when in fact they are being blinded and are going to be opened. And I'm going to use Saul's life. I'm going to talk a lot about Saul tonight. I'm going to use Saul's life, because Saul was the one anointed by God, and then a religious spirit got in him, and it led him right away to destruction. And so wicked, these religious spirits are wicked because they penetrate inside the body of Christ and make people believe that what is actually of Satan is of God, and not only of God, but very holy. Now, the spirit that we're going to speak of, go back with me to 1 Samuel chapter 10, is the spirit of Amalek. And Amalek is the spirit that is the energy of the flesh to serve God. The energy of the flesh. Now notice I said, the energy of the flesh to serve God. The energy of the flesh to serve God. Okay, first Samuel. Because God, you know, As I study this and as God opens it up, I look back at my life and I see, my goodness, Lord, I see what was happening. I see what was happening in inside churches that I was a part of and never realized what was happening. And people don't realize what's happening because they're not taught. Praise God for Asbury College. I love Asbury College, and God has called me here, and He's anointed, and I don't mean to speak ill of it at all, but I have sat through sermons in Asbury College Chapel for 35 years, and much of what I am teaching on this the spiritual warfare series is never a word. And I could add many other things, never a word. And usually what is preached, there's nothing wrong with, but God wants to get us out of being children and grow us up, because the conflict and the war is going to be so massive, and the deceptions are going to be so massive, and the deceptions have already penetrated here at the seminary and the college. The deceptions have already penetrated. I don't make any judgment as to how deeply. I don't make any judgment about this professor or that one. It's just the Lord has spoken to me and said to me very clearly. Isn't Bob Neff? He said this to me. I know that he said this to me. That apostasy is already dominated. The organized is already dominating the organized church. It isn't just coming. It's already dominated the organized church. Well, let's begin to look at the life of Saul, because this will be my major topic tonight, the life of Saul. 1 Samuel chapter 10. I'm going to read verse 1, then I'm going to go to verse 6. I'm going to skip through because we don't have time to read everything in the whole story. But we'll get the outlines of the story and the verses that God wants me to concentrate on. Then Samuel... 1 Samuel 10, verse 1. Then Samuel took the flask of oil, poured it on his head, and kissed him, and said, "Has not Yahweh," that's the Hebrew, "anointed you ruler over his inheritance?" Now Yahweh did not want the Hebrew children to accept an earthly king. He wanted them to accept God himself as their king. But God does give free will. He does allow people to choose against him, and he does allow people to choose the wrong kind of government. Of course, God allowed government, human government, because of human sin. Our founders understood this in Federalist No. 10 and Federalist No. 51 and the Federalist Papers before when the Constitution was written, as they were justifying the Constitution. Madison said that if men were angels, there would be no need for government. If angels were to govern men, there would be no need for controls on government. But there is sin. All men are sinful. So you need a government. And so God, I think, allowed this because he understood the sin of man. And so he allowed a government. But his anointed one, his anointed prophet Samuel, what he wanted, and this is, by the way, the only way that government can be redeemed, is if you have a man anointed by the Holy Spirit of God, filled with the Holy Spirit of God, anointed by God, led by God, then there can be blessing through earthly government. But only if you have a ruler and other people in that government who are saved. And better yet, baptized in the Holy Spirit. Most of our founders were saved, most of them were not baptized in the Holy Spirit. In fact, I don't know any of them, certainly, that were baptized in the Holy Spirit. I've read a lot about this subject. I think most of them were saved. I think most of them knew Christ. Well, Samuel... God allowed this. Samuel anointed, and so Saul's anointing as the king is dependent on God through the Holy Spirit coming upon him and choosing him. Was he capable when he was first chosen? No, but God made him capable. Verse 6. And he said to him, "Behold now, there is a man of God in this city. And the man is held..." Excuse me. Wrong chapter. Verse 6, chapter 10. "Then the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you mightily, and you shall prophesy, and with them be changed into another man." Notice, The Spirit of the Lord will come upon you. So this is Saul. Samuel's prophesying. And you will prophesy with them, and you'll be changed into another man. Saul was changed into another man by the Holy Spirit of God. And it shall be, when these signs come to you, do for yourself what the occasion requires, for God is with you. And you shall go down to Gilgal, and behold, I will come down to you to offer burnt offerings and sacrifice and peace offerings. And you shall wait for 7 days until I come to you and show you what you should do. In other words, after you're filled with the Spirit of God, wait until he shows you what to do. And wait until he shows you when to do it. A lot of people get filled with the Spirit and then run off and go do this, go do that. And I got a word, here it is. I got a word for you, here it is. No. If I have a word for you, Kristen, I need to pray first. You get a word for someone, pray first. Now tonight, the Holy Spirit came on me and the Lord said, prophesy now. Now. Speak to this couple. But you need to know what and when. Under the anointing of the Holy Spirit of God. People who first get baptized in the Holy Spirit are dangerous because they want to take it out and spill it out. And sometimes you're not to, sometimes, see, you get into trouble and God doesn't want you. If I have a word for you, Ron, or if I have a word for you, I'm supposed to take that to the Lord. I'm not supposed to speak that to you unless the Lord tells me to speak it to you. And a lot of times you're supposed to pray so that you can break some bondage, so that the person can be open, so the person can repent, then he can receive the word. Because a lot of times people cannot receive. In fact, you try to give a word from God, it can be from God. But you try to give it, and it'll seem like a confrontation. It'll seem, and people will oppose it, and they won't receive it. So you need to. But here was no question that Saul was being prepared, and the Holy Spirit fell upon him. Then verse 9. Then it happened when he turned his back to leave Samuel. God changed his heart. And all those signs came about on that day. And when they came to the hill, behold, a group of prophets with him, the Spirit of God came upon him mightily so that he prophesied among them. The Holy Spirit fell on Saul. He was baptized in the Holy Spirit and he began to prophesy.
Amen.
He began to prophesy. And they said, is Saul among the prophets? Yeah, under the anointing of the Spirit of God. Under the anointing of the Spirit. Listen, if the anointing of the Spirit of God falls on you and you prophesy in the New Testament sense, that's a word of comfort, a word of encouragement, a word to lift people up. Not necessarily about the future. It could be, but not necessarily about the future. You are a prophet at that sense. Now, you may not be called to the office of a prophet as Isaiah was and as Jeremiah was, and there's a difference between being called sovereignly by God to the office of a prophet, because the office of a prophet, like Isaiah and Jeremiah, they were never wrong, people. They were never wrong. They heard from God directly. In the New Testament gifting, I must test and try the spirits to see if they have God. Because if you are not called to the office of a prophet, you can hear and you can prophesy, but you must test and try the spirits. And I always say to people, you've heard me, if I prophesy, now I didn't hear because God just told me to speak it out. But you do need to test it. And I usually tell people, if I have a word, you need to test it. You need to take this to the Lord. Before you act on it, you need to take this to the Lord.
Yeah.
And that's a good principle. God showed me this a long time ago.
You always do that.
So the Holy Spirit fell upon Saul, and he prophesied. Now, where did Saul go wrong? Well, he started to go wrong in chapter 13. Now, see, you get the Holy Spirit fills you. You get the house swept clean. But there can be some wicked spirits, because the enemy, listen, if you get saved and baptized in the Holy Spirit, the enemy's gonna concentrate on you more than ever before. And he's gonna test you and try you, and he's gonna do everything he can do to foul you up.
Amen.
And if you'll receive a religious spirit he'll send it. He'll send it. Well, he will. He will send it. He will send other spirits. But tonight we're talking about religious spirit. We're talking about the spirit of Amalek. The spirit of the flesh, serving God in the energy of the flesh. Well, what more could a Christian, I mean, after all, you get saved and what Jesus has done for you, and you praise God, and God, you say, God, I'll go everywhere. I'll do anything you want me to do. Lord God, I'm ready. I'm ready. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to do. I'm ready. See, and he doesn't want you to use 1 ounce of the energy of the flesh, 1 ounce of your brain, of your ideas, of your mind, of your plans. He doesn't want the least little bit of it. Now, the least little bit of it won't send you to hell. But the least little bit of it can open up, and this is what happened to Saul. Now, here's where he started to go wrong. Chapter 13 and verse 11. But Samuel said, what have you done? And Saul said, because I saw that the people were scattering from me, and that you did not come within the appointed days. See, Samuel had said he was coming, and Paul was depending on Samuel as the prophet. And that the Philistines were assembling at Mishmah. In other words, here's the enemy. When you're moving in the spirit, you'll be sure that the enemy will send the enemy before you to work against you. Therefore I said, now the Philistines will come down against me at Gilgal, and I have not asked for the favor of the Lord. So I forced myself and offered a burnt offering.
Yeah.
Now why did he do this? Why? And he was not supposed to. He was not a priest. He was not to offer a burnt offering. They were commanded. He was not commanded to do this. His priests were commanded to do this. And so Saul was afraid. Now there is a place where the enemy will get you to open up to listening to people and to seeking their approval. And to using the energy of the flesh when you are afraid. Fear. Fear. Fear and faith will never grow together. They will not live together. The moment you allow fear, fear shows unbelief. Oh, you of little faith, Jesus said, why did you fear? Why did you fear? Here's the storm. And Jesus stills the, why were you afraid? Don't you know you're in me? Don't you know that I will take care of you? Here's the girl that dies. And she's dead. Jesus says she's sleeping. And he says, why do you fear? Fear death. Why should you fear death? Listen, God wants to get us to the place where we will not fear. Fear people, fear God, fear death, fear anything. And so he was trying to use a legalistic way. Now, if in his heart he had believed in prayer and listened to the Holy Spirit, the anointing was on him. He was baptized in the Spirit, but he wasn't listening to the Spirit. See, if you don't listen to the Spirit, and you try to use some official policy, and he was forbidden from doing this anyway. I mean, God forbade him from doing this. See, one of the keys to tonight's story is that if you're going to be led by the Lord, if you're going to be used by the Lord, if the Holy Spirit's going to be flowing through you, you have got to do nothing but obey, 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 obey. You don't need the reason. You don't need to know why. You don't need to say, what about this? What about that? You just need to obey.
Amen. That's good. That's right.
We're not used to that as Americans.
No.
That's why I think there are some Christians in some parts of the world who come from totalitarian societies. When they get saved, they're at least they're used to it's coming under authority. We Americans are too independent. We're going to do it our own way, raise us ourselves up by our own bootstraps. I'm not totally against individualism in American history. Is just that individualism is carried into the spiritual realm, and it'll get us into trouble every time. And Samuel said to Saul, you have acted foolishly. You have not kept the commandment of the Lord your God, and he commanded you, for now the Lord would have established your kingdom over Israel forever, but now the kingdom shall not endure. The Lord has sought out for himself a man after his own heart. A man after his own heart. Do you have a heart for God? If you have a heart for God, you will always obey.
Amen.
Without asking, without saying why, mm-hmm. You will just obey. My favorite way. God says, rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Yes, sir. I will rejoice. I will pray. I will obey. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons, freely you receive, freely give.
Yes,
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 sir, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
I will obey. But, those buts will get you into trouble. They got Saul into trouble.
Mm-hmm. There is no but. There's just God.
Amen. Now, turn to chapter 15. There, chapter 15, verse 1. Now, because if you are not called to the office of a prophet, you can hear and you can prophesy, but you must test and try the spirits. And I always say to people, you've heard me, if I prophesy, now I didn't hear because God just told me to speak it out, but you do need to test it. And I usually tell people, if I have a word, you need to test it. You need to take this to the Lord. Before you act on it, you need to take this to the Lord.
Yeah.
And that's a good a principle. God showed me this a long time ago.
You always do that.
So the Holy Spirit fell upon Saul, and he prophesied. Now, where did Saul go wrong? Well, he started to go wrong in chapter 13. Now, see, you get the Holy Spirit fills you. You get the house swept clean. But there can be some wicked spirits, because the enemy, listen, if you get saved and baptized in the Holy Spirit, the enemy's gonna concentrate on you more than ever before. And he's gonna test you and try you, and he's gonna do everything he can do to foul you up.
Amen.
And if you'll receive a religious spirit he'll send it. He'll send it. Well, he will. He will send it. He will send other spirits, but tonight we're talking about religious spirit. We're talking about the spirit of Amalek. The spirit of the flesh, serving God in the energy of the flesh. Well, what more could a Christian, after all, you get saved and what Jesus has done for you, and you praise God, and God, you say, God, I'll go everywhere. I'll do anything you want me to do. Lord God, I'm ready. I'm ready. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to do. I'm ready. And he doesn't want you to use 1 ounce of the energy of the flesh, 1 ounce of your brain, of your ideas, of your mind, of your plans. He doesn't want the least little bit of it. Now, the least little bit of it won't send you to hell, but the least little bit of it can open up, and this is what happened to Saul. Now, here's where he started to go wrong. Here's where he started to go wrong. Chapter 13 and verse 11. But Samuel said, what have you done? And Saul said, because I saw that the people were scattering from me and that you did not come within the appointed days. See, Samuel had said he was coming, and Paul was depending on Samuel as the prophet. And that the Philistines were assembling at Mishmah. In other words, here's the enemy. I mean, when you're moving in the spirit, you'll be sure that the enemy will get out, will send the enemy before you to work against you. Therefore, I said, now the Philistines will come down against me at Gilgal, and I have not asked for the favor of the Lord. So I forced myself and offered a burnt offering.
Yeah.
Now, why did he do this? Why? And he was not supposed to. He was not a priest. He was not to offer a burnt offering. They were commanded, he was not commanded to do this. His priests were commanded to do this. And so, Saul was afraid. Now, there is a place where the enemy will get you to open up to listening to people and to seeking their approval and to using the energy of the flesh when you are afraid. Fear. Fear. Fear and faith will never grow together. They will not live together. The moment you allow fear, fear shows unbelief. Oh, you of little faith, Jesus said, why did you fear? Why did you fear? Here's the storm. And Jesus stills the... Why were you afraid? Don't you know you're in me? Don't you know that I will take care of you? Here's the girl that dies. And she's dead. Jesus says she's sleeping. And he says, why do you fear? Fear death. Why should you fear death? Listen, God wants to get us to the place where we will not fear. Fear people, fear God, fear death, fear anything. And so he was trying to use a legalistic way. Now, if in his heart he had believed in prayer and listened to the Holy Spirit anointing was on him. He was baptized in the Spirit, but he wasn't listening to the Spirit. See, if you don't listen to the Spirit and you try to use some official policy, and he was forbidden from doing this anyway. I mean, God forbade him from doing this. See, one of the keys to tonight's story is that if you're going to be led by the Lord, if you're going to be used by the Lord, if the Holy Spirit's going to be flowing through you, you have got to do nothing but obey, 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 obey. You don't need the reason. You don't need to know why. You don't need to say, what about this? What about that? You just need to obey.
Amen. That's good. That's right.
We're not used to that as Americans.
No.
That's why I think there are some Christians in some parts of the world who come from totalitarian societies. When they get saved, they're at least they're used to coming under authority. The Americans are too independent. We're going to do it our own way. Raise us ourselves up by our own bootstraps. I'm not totally against individualism in American history. It's just that individualism is carried into the spiritual realm. And it'll get us into trouble. Every time. And Samuel said to Saul, you have acted foolishly. You have not kept the commandment of the Lord your God. And he commanded you, for now the Lord would have established your kingdom over Israel forever. But now the kingdom shall not endure. The Lord has sought out for himself a man after his own heart. A man after his own heart. Do you have a heart for God? If you have a heart for God, you will always obey.
Amen.
Without asking. Without saying why, you will just obey. My favorite way. God says, rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Yes, sir. I will rejoice. I will pray. I will obey. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons, freely you receive, freely give.
Yes, sir,
Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
I will obey. But, those buts will get you into trouble. They got Saul into trouble.
Mm-hmm. There is no but, there's just God.
Amen. Now, turn to chapter 15. Chapter 15, verse 1. Now, testing, and by the way, God does not want you to test. If you have a heart for God, you won't test him. And you won't do things that test him. See, if Jesus had jumped off the pinnacle of the temple, and quoted Psalm 91 like the devil wanted him to. The devil quoted Psalm 91. But that was a testing, and God didn't want Jesus. Jesus could have, but Jesus would be testing, and so he was not going to test the Lord. See, if you put your, if you believe that poison will not hurt you, they will speak with new tongues, they will be bitten or will be have poison and they will not be hurt. But God doesn't want you to test him by putting your hand into a rattlesnake nest.
Right.
That's testing him.
Right.
So. This is the test, and then the other name here, because of Meribah, which means strife, bitterness. Because of the quarrel of the sons of Israel, because they tested the Lord by saying, is the Lord among us or not? Is the Lord among us? And Lord God had been among them doing all these miracles, and they say, is the Lord among us? Because they were thirsty. See, if you have a heart after God, see, the energy of the flesh will lead you to complain, will lead you into error, will lead you to test the Lord. Now, Amalek came and fought against Israel. Israel is a symbol not only for the people of Israel and the people of God, it's a symbol for the true church today. It's a symbol for the true church, the people of God today, too. And the devil's tactics are the same as they were here. So Moses said to Joshua, choose men for us and go out and fight against Amalek. Tomorrow I will station myself on the top of the hill with a staff of God in my hand. Now Moses is up here with a staff of God in his hand. He's up on the top of that mountain. Now Joshua did as Moses told him, and he fought against Amalek. God has war against Amalek, and you need to be at war against the energy of the flesh in your life and the life of other Christians. You need to be at war with the rod of God and the power of God and the anointing of God, warning and showing you how you might get off into the energy of the flesh to serve God. And Joshua did as Moses told him and fought against Amalek. And Moses and Aaron and Hur went up on the top of the hill. As it came about, Moses held his hands up. And by the way, the Hebrew word here is yadah. And it's translated sometimes they praised the Lord. They yadahed the Lord. But it literally means with lifted hands. Now why the symbolic lifting of the hands? Because it's, I surrender, Lord. See, when you raise your hands in the sanctuary, it's not, oh, I'm so giddy, I have to praise God. No, it's, I decide to surrender to you, Lord, and I don't care who sees it or who knows it. I surrender to you. You are the only one that has any power. You are the only one that has any life, and I'm going to illustrate it here right before all of this congregation. We will lift our hands, and the battle will come against the flesh because the flesh says, don't do that. That looks silly. Don't do that. People will think you're something. You're emotional. I remember when I first raised my hands, or tried to raise my hands in Hughes Auditorium. You know, you know what the enemy said? Well, I said, you're a PhD, you're a professor of history. You mean you're going to raise your hands? That'll be humiliating. It's like when David danced before the Lord. Danced before the Lord because he got a vision of the holiness of God. And Michael said, you're a king. Look what you're doing, making a fool of yourself before the people. You see, this is the position. This is the position. I surrender to you, Lord. I have no power. I have only weakness. I need your strength. God, I will praise you. I praise you because you're a covenant-keeping God. You have won the victory, and you will win the victory now. And so that Moses would know that it wasn't him, Aaron and Hur had to get on either side and hold his hands up. And as long as they held his hands up, the battle was going well against Amalek. And when his hand came down, the battle was going for Amalek. So literally, in a sense, you don't have to have physically your hands in the air. You need, if you're going to battle against Amalek, the energy of the flesh, you need, at least in the spirit sense, you need your hands in the air all the time. I'm weak, Lord. Paul would boast of his weaknesses so the strength of the Holy Spirit of God could flow. Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone, and they put it under him, and he sat on it, and Aaron and Hur supported his hands, one on one side and one on the other. Thus his hands were steady until the sun set. And Joshua overwhelmed Amalek and the people to the edge of the sword. And the Lord said to Moses, write this in a book as a memorial. Write it to Joshua. I will utterly blot out the memory of Amalek from under heaven. Now listen now. And Moses built an altar and named it Yahweh Nissa. The Lord, my banner of victory. He is the only banner of victory. Nothing in my flesh, nothing in my ability can give victory to me or to anyone else through me. Nothing can be done to bring victory in an eternal sense except as I surrender and receive the anointing of the Spirit of God. The anointing of the Spirit of God is the only thing that will continually to be anointed by the Spirit of God is the only thing that will keep you out of exercising the energy of the flesh to try to serve God. The Lord will have war against Amalek from generation to generation. That means from the beginning of time to the end of time, he has eternal war against the energy of the flesh. Now that's a long time. that's forever. It's forever. 1 Samuel 15. Now, back to 1 Samuel 15. Because one must see what happens here to Saul and learn some lessons from Saul's life. Because he started out, remember, baptized in the Spirit, prophesying, filled with the Spirit, began that first little disobedience. Now, there's more disobedience. And let's go to chapter 15, 1 Samuel 15, and verse 3. Now go and strike Amalek. Now this is what he told Saul. And utterly destroy all that he has, and do not spare him. Put to death both man, woman, child, infant, ox, sheep, camel, and donkey. This is spiritually a teaching that there must be a root and branch total war and total destruction of every aspect of the energy of the flesh. Total war. You must go to total war through the anointing of the Spirit of God against any aspect of the energy of the flesh in your life. Then Saul summoned the people and numbered them in Telaim, 200,000 foot soldiers, 10,000 men of Judah. And Saul came to the city of Amalek and set an ambush in the valley. Verse 7, so Saul defeated Amalek, and he captured Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive, utterly destroyed all the people in the edge of the sword. But Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep. Mm-hmm. Listen now. Spared Agag, the king, and the best of the sheep, the oxen, the fatlings, the lambs, and all that was good. All that was good. Now, what is the only definition of good we mentioned a moment ago? The only definition of good in the Scripture is what God says, what He wills, and you will to do, and do, makes you good. Any kind of disobedience is evil. So, how did they decide that it was good that they should spare the best of the sheep and Agag? Their own fleshly, soulish energy, their own ideas. Well, I think this is the best way to serve God. And God would like this, I'm sure. And they were not willing to destroy them utterly, but everything despised and worthless they utterly destroyed. They disobeyed, deciding what was good. That's a key. If you try to decide what's good with your own mind and your own view of how to serve God and how to promote what is good for God's cause, you will get into disobedience. And the word of the Lord came to Samuel saying, I regret that I have made Saul king, for he has turned back from following me, and he has not carried out my commands. And Samuel was distressed and cried out to the Lord all night. Verse 14. No, verse 13. And Samuel came to Saul and said to him, "Blessed are you of the Lord. I have carried out the command of the Lord."
Yeah.
Look at what this religious spirit of Amalek has just done.
Yeah.
It has so deceived Saul. He deciding what is good, sparing what the best of the sheep and sparing Agag, this religious spirit has led him into direct rebellion and into direct disobedience. And Saul is saying, "I have carried out the command of the Lord." See, this spirit will make people believe that as they decide that what is good and what is best, that they will say and believe that they are carrying out the command of the Lord. See how this gets in? See how this gets into the very heart of what Christianity is all about. It gets into the heart of the church. It gets into the heart of what it means to be a Christian. How many people believe, even people who get born again, that after they get born again, then now we will serve the Lord by going and doing this and going doing that and serving on this committee and serving. It's not wrong to serve on committees. It's not wrong to do things. But the key to it is never the things you do in the energy of the flesh. It is the things you do in the energy of the Spirit, led by the Spirit of God in absolute total obedience. Because my whole life was changed by what I quoted earlier tonight. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons, freely receive, freely give. And suddenly one day, I was 34. And suddenly one day, the Lord said, "Did you hear that?" I said, "Well, Lord, I guess. But how am I going to do that?" "Just obey, I'll show you. Just obey, I'll show you." He doesn't, you can't cast out demons, but if you'll obey, he will through you.
Amen.
You can't heal anyone, but if you'll obey, he'll do it through you. That's all he asks. The way, the time, that's all he asks. And Saul said, "They have brought the Amalekites, the people, and spared the best of the sheep and the oxen to sacrifice to the Lord your God. And the rest we have utterly destroyed." Now the devil, you know, that spirit of Amalek, now we've spared the best and we're sacrificing it to you, Lord. We're giving it to you. Aren't you pleased? We've decided what's the best. Now we're just giving this over to you, Lord. This is deceptive. This is deceptive. This is the height of deception. Mm-hmm. Then Samuel said to Saul, "Wait, and let me tell you what the Lord said to me. Let me tell you what the Lord said to me last night." And he said, "Speak." Verse 19. "Why then did you not obey the voice of the Lord, but rushed on the spoil and did what was evil in the sight of the Lord?" He did what was evil by sparing the best of the conquest and sacrificing it to the Lord. Was evil. You hear that? Was evil. Because evil, there is the only key to the definition of evil in the Bible is you disobey what God says. Satan was the first rebeller against God, and he was the evil one because he was the first of the angels to rebel against what God said. What God's will was for Lucifer, who was light bringer, one of the most beautiful of the angels, and then he rebelled. Evil! And Saul said to Samuel, "I did obey the voice of the Lord and went on a mission on which the Lord sent me. And I brought back Agag, the king of Amalek, and I've utterly destroyed the Amalekites." Now listen now. Here's the next hook. Here's the next hook that the spirit of Amalek will cause you to get into And there are other spirits that attach to this spirit. But the people, Saul's talking, the people took some of the spoil, the sheep, the oxen, and the choicest of the things devoted to destruction to sacrifice to the Lord your God at Gilgal. Samuel said, has the Lord as much delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. Now another key, and this is what happened finally to Saul. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. When you disobey God specifically, he disobeyed God. When you specifically disobey God, you open yourself directly to Satan's kingdom, and the heart of Satan's kingdom is witchcraft. Witchcraft is the spiritual part. Divination is the mind part. Sorcery is the body part. We've talked about this before. Witchcraft, divination, sorcery. All in one. But witchcraft, I mean, you directly, when you disobey God, you open the door to hell itself. You open the door to hell itself. And that's exactly what happened to Saul. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has rejected you from being king. And here's another hook. Then Saul said to Samuel, I have sinned. He finally admitted, I have sinned. I have indeed transgressed the command of the Lord and your words because I feared the people and listened to their voice. When you start disobeying, now other spirits, fear of approval, and people inside religious groups and denominations and churches fear religious people, they fear authority. Pastors fear their bishops. They fear to stand up for what the Bible really teaches. They fear for their positions. They fear for their pensions. They fear, 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 fear. Now, the final place where this leads. In 1 Samuel 16, verse 14, now this is what can happen when you follow the spirit of Amalek and start using the energy of the flesh. Verse 14, chapter 16, the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul. The Holy Spirit left him. The Holy Spirit left him. Now, he had been saved and baptized in the Spirit. He had prophesied. But the Holy Spirit left him. You know, through the years, when people come through here, they get baptized in the Spirit, and they are serving God. And then I've heard a number of cases, people fall not only away from the things of the Spirit, they fall totally away from God. And I think, how can this happen? I mean, it's you know, it's so wonderful to be in God and in Christ and in the anointing of the Spirit and see God move. But unless you keep moving in the anointing of the Spirit of God, keep moving, keep moving, keep moving, keep going, keep going, keep going, keep reading, keep believing, keep praying, keep moving. The moment you rest on your laurels, so to speak, is the moment that the enemy can send this spirit of Amalek using the energy of the flesh. Now, you know the story. I'm not going to read it. I'm going to read one last section here in a moment. But the Lord sent an evil spirit on him. And David was brought before Saul to calm him, who would play on the harp. And the evil spirit would sometimes leave when David was there playing. I think it was the presence of David, not so much the harp as it was the presence of David. And he was praising the Lord.
Yeah.
And then David killed Goliath. Now another spirit of jealousy. entered Saul. See, this leads to other spirits entering. And then after the spirit of jealousy, a spirit of apostasy, he fell completely away. I'm going to say something at the end here tonight about apostasy, falling away from God. See, this energy of the flesh can, if you follow it, it can lead you to fall away from God. Then a spirit of murder and death. He tried several times to kill David. And David, under the anointing of God, twice had Saul could have killed him. One time they sent water out. One time he went to relieve himself in a cave, and David spared Saul, and then temporarily Saul would repent, but only temporarily. And so Saul pursued David, and then in 1 Samuel 28 is the place where I want to end. 1 Samuel 28. Because this is where it can end for people who follow after the energy of the flesh, for religious people. Because, see, religious people are seeking spiritual things. Pagans often are not seeking spiritual things. I think, by the way, before the Antichrist comes, and by the time the Antichrist comes, that most people will be seeking spiritual things. But religious people seek spiritual things. But when they get into the energy of the flesh, pretty soon they don't know what's of God and what's of Satan. Mm-hmm. And so, this is what happened to Saul. He fell away. The Spirit left him. The Holy Spirit left him. And so in 1 Samuel 28 and verse 3, it says, Now Samuel was dead, and Israel lamented him and buried him in Ramah, his own city. And Saul had removed from the land those who were mediums and spiritists. Mediums were people who were divining in witchcraft and who would hear messages from demon spirits and then speak them to men. So the Philistines gathered together and came and camped in Shunem, and Saul gathered all Israel together, and they camped at Gilboa. And when Saul saw in the camp the Philistines, he was afraid, and his heart trembled greatly. See, when you lose fear of God, you fear men. When you lose the fear of God, you fear men. If you have great awe and fear of God continually, you will never fear anything that men can do, and you will not fear death. If you really... The beginning of wisdom and knowledge is the fear of God, the awe of God and who He is. And when Saul inquired of Yahweh, Yahweh did not answer him, either by dreams or by Urim. That Urim was a symbol that the priest wore. They wore that when they were seeking God's will, when they were praying to seek God's will. Then Saul said to his servants, Seek for me a woman who is a witch or a medium, that I may go to her and inquire of her. And his servant said to him, Behold, there is a witch at Endor. Saul disguised himself by putting on other clothes and went, and two other men with him, and they came to the woman by night. And he said, Conjure up for me, please, and bring up for me whom I shall name to you. But the woman said to him, Behold, you know that what Saul has done, and how he has cut off those who are mediums and spiritists from the land. Why are you then laying a snare for my life to bring about my death? But Saul vowed to her, By Yahweh, saying, As Yahweh lives, there shall no punishment come on you for this thing. Then the woman said, Whom shall I bring up for you? And he said, Bring up Samuel. And when the woman saw Samuel, she cried out with a loud voice. Now, if you know anything about the demonic, you know why she cried out with a loud voice. Because the witches in witchcraft, and especially mediums, will get voices, but they are demons impersonating people.
Yeah.
And so a dead person like Samuel, a demon normally, she would have gotten a demon to impersonating Samuel. Instead, she saw Samuel. And she screamed.
Yeah.
Whoa! And cried out with a loud voice, and the woman spoke to Saul, saying, Why have you deceived me? You were Saul. Now she knew.
Yeah.
This was Saul. And the king said to her, Don't be afraid. What do you see? And the woman said to Saul, I see a divine being coming up out of the earth. And he said to her, What is this form? And she said, An old man coming up. And Saul knew that it was Samuel. Verse 16, and Samuel said, why then do you ask me, since the Lord has departed from you and has become your adversary? And the Lord has done according as he spoke through me, and the Lord has torn the kingdom out of your hand and given it to your neighbor, to David. As you did not obey the Lord and did not execute his fierce wrath on Amalek, so the Lord has done to you this thing today. So, seek the anointing, the continual anointing of the Spirit of God. In 1 John it says, the anointing of the Spirit will teach you. The anointing of the Spirit will teach you. Most of what I have learned from the Scripture that I teach has come from the Scripture and the anointing of the Spirit of God in my heart. Most of what I teach comes from the anointing of the Spirit of God. I was amazed when I read Jesus in Beijing. I shouldn't have been. But David Aikman, who we heard speak in Washington, who wrote the book about the Chinese Christians, and when I read the constitution of those five underground churches in China, and they wrote out what the Holy Spirit had given them from the Scripture, this is what they taught. They had a list of things that they taught from the Scripture. And I thought, Lord, that's what I've been teaching in this house for 30 years. Almost everything that I have been teaching for 30 years is what the Lord, through the Holy Spirit, gave these Chinese Christians. It's as if I was reading what God had spoken to me, because God spoke it to them. We need the anointing of the Spirit of God. Don't let the energy of the flesh creep in at all. It destroyed Saul. He was a man who had been baptized in the Holy Spirit. He had prophesied. The Lord had led him, but that little bit of disobedience. Then a little more. Getting what is good and what he said is the best for God. And even giving it to sacrifice for God. But it was all evil. It was all evil because it was disobedience to what God said. How can I say it more strongly as I close? Don't do anything except what God shows you to do. When you hear teaching, it won't do you any good unless you get your own mind and heart into the Word, and God writes it in your heart, so that if it's in your heart, not just my heart, but if it's in your heart, then you will say, yes, sir. And you will begin to obey, and the power of God will begin to flow, and you will be insured against any religious spirit of Amalek or the energy of the flesh. And you will know when you are attempting to get into the energy of the flesh. And you will know when something is evil, because it is something against the will of God, and there is nothing good. That's why Jesus said, don't call me good. Only my Father in heaven is good, because Jesus was not good until he willed the will of the Father. And when he willed the will of the Father and acted on what God the Father said, then he was good. And only then was he good. And only are we good when we get the will of the Father in our heart and we say, yes, sir, Lord, that's what I'm going to do. I tell you, young people, older people, everyone, everyone. I like it that we have a mix of ages. Obey, 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 obey. But get in the Word, get in the Word, get in the Word. Know what the Word says and ask the Holy Spirit of God what it means. Sometimes it's real plain. Do you know most of the things in the Scripture are real plain? Mm-hmm. And we just don't do them. Mm-hmm. It says just, you know, things like, don't worry. Yeah. And we worry. Right. Pray about everything.
Yeah.
Praise God for all things. Even those hard things. Praise God for them. When men persecute you and revile you and say all mean or evil against you falsely, rejoice and leap for joy. You say you can't. Oh, yes, you can. Oh, yes, you can. If you will to do it. If you will to do it, you can. You can. And you'll get blessed.
You can only do it.
And you will get blessed.
Spirit, though.
Led by the Spirit of God, but the will is always, I've found this, that the Holy Spirit of God flows freely when we are willing to will. Don't have to feel like it. When we are willing to will the will of God and act on it, and the Holy Spirit of God will fall. Praise God. You can cut it off.